please turn to the book of Micah, chapter 6. Now, Micah is right after Jonah and before Nahum, if that helps. It's one of the minor prophets. And then for context, I will read verses 6 to 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Just a little background on the book. Micah was a prophet who ministered from around 750 to 686 BC. He ministered under three kings in the southern kingdom of Judah. He pointed out God's judgment on Judah for their social and injustice and their religious corruption. Jason talked about some of these in the morning service. They started to mix in the worship of the Canaanite fertility god Baal with Old Testament sacrificial system. Chapter 6 is laid out like a courtroom scene with Micah acting as God's attorney and stating the case against Judah for violating God's covenant with them. Micah makes a case that rather than a large number of sacrifices, God would rather have the people obey his laws. The main theme tonight is God requires obedience from his people. God requires obedience from his people. Tonight, we will look at three things that the Lord requires of us. They are justice, kindness, and humility. The first one is to do justice. What is justice? The dictionary defines it as righteousness, equitableness, or moral rightness. We learn as little children about fairness. We want our fair share of the birthday cake. We want our fair share of the toys. We want the same amount of attention from mom and dad as our other siblings. We learn about fairness in sports. We want the rules to apply the same to both teams. We get angry if we think our team was treated unfairly. We like to see people punished for their crimes. I've been in many a movie theater where the bad guy gets justice and gets put away for his crime, and the people in the audience cheer. So we're just naturally, we have a tendency for wanting justice. There are many examples of the Bible of God's view of justice. In Genesis, we learn that God plans to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. In Genesis 18, 17 to 19, the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so the Lord may bring Abraham what he has promised him." So we see even at the beginning of the establishment of what would become the Jewish nation, it would be rooted in righteousness and justice. God establishes justice in the Mosaic Law, according to Leviticus 16, 18 to 20. "You shall appoint judges and officers in all your towns that the Lord your God is giving you according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, and you shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. Justice and only justice you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Another example is Psalm 106:3. "Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteous at all times." The second requirement is kindness. What is kindness? It can be described as a tenderness, compassion, charity, or generosity. I like to sum it up as being nice to people. True biblical kindness is doing something nice for someone without expecting anything in return. There are many references to kindness in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we read in Job 6, verse 14, "He who withholds kindness from a friend forsakes the fear of the Almighty." Also in Zechariah 7:9, thus says the Lord of hosts, render two judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. And in the New Testament, we read in Colossians 3:12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Kindness is also fruit of the Spirit. We read in Galatians 5:22 to 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. There is a great example of kindness done by David. For time's sake, I will summarize it, but you can read the whole story in 2 Samuel chapter 9. As you recall, Jonathan and David were great friends. And if you remember, Jonathan and Saul were killed in the battle. So after David became king, he looked for some way he could repay kindness for Jonathan. And he found out that Jonathan still had a son named Mephibosheth. Now, Mephibosheth was crippled because he was dropped by one of his nursemaids when he was 5. So when David found out about him, he called him to his throne room. And Mephibosheth was kind of scared, thinking, what is David going to do to him? But David tells him in 2 Samuel chapter 9, David says, do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always. That's just such a great example of kindness. I just love that story. The third requirement is to walk humbly with your God. I have always liked the analogy of walking. Yes, you get to know someone by just sitting and talking together, but sometimes it's good to walk together. You can stroll at a comfortable pace, and you can still sit down if you get tired. But when you are walking, it feels like you are accomplishing something. You both are headed toward the same direction. It is wonderful to look at a relationship with God as walking with him for our entire life. Because as we walk, we will get to know him. And he's so complicated, you can spend your whole life and still not know God. What is humility? It can be defined as the practice of meekness, obedience to God, respect of self and others, and submissiveness. Just a side note concerning meekness, there's a great quote about it. I don't remember who said it, but it goes like this. If you think it's weak to be meek, try being meek for a week. In the Old Testament, there are many references to humility. Isaiah 66:2 says, all these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Proverbs is filled with verses concerning humility. Like Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. Also Proverbs 16:18 and 19, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It is better to be of lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. And Proverbs 29:23, one's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. Also, the New Testament, there are references to humility. In Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. And in 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. The ultimate example of humility is Jesus, as stated in Philippians 2:8. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now let us look at some applications of these principles. First, do justice. This is a command for us to do something. One way is to treat everybody the same, whether they are the CEO of a Fortune 500 company or the gardener. In God's eyes, they are all the same and equally deserving of respect. We especially need to be accepting of people in our church. I once heard a preacher tell this story, which took place in the 70s. A young man walked into the church. He was dressed in shorts and a t-shirt. He had long hair and was wearing a tie-dyed bandana and sandals. He looked like your stereotypical hippie. He walked down the main aisle and sat cross-legged at the front of the church. Now, you must understand this was an old conservative Baptist church. All the men wore suits and the women were in dresses. You can imagine the horror of some of the members. One of the ushers, an older gentleman, walked down the aisle towards the man. The offended members thought, aha, now this man is going to be asked to leave. When the elderly gentleman reached the man, he sat down cross-legged next to him. We need to be as welcoming to visitors to RCG as this usher was. James commands us in chapter 2, 1-3, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, well, you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or you sit down at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? The second application is to love kindness. If you love doing something, you will try to do it as much as you can. For example, I love watching soccer, so any chance I get to watch a game or go to a game, I'll do that. We need to do the same thing with kindness. I will share a couple of personal examples of kindness, not to say what a great person I am, because my family can attest that I'm not, but just to show you how easy it can be. I was coming out of the post office. Yes, old guys like me still go to the post office. And I saw a man coming up, and he had a box in one hand, and he was walking with a cane. So I quickly ran back, and I opened the door for him so he could get in. And he was very appreciative, and he thanked me. Another example is a couple of months ago, my wife and I were at the county fair, and we were sitting at the main stage in one of the benches. And I saw a young couple with a small child, and they were looking around to find a seat. And the show was about to start, and since Blanca and I had already seen it, I went up to them and said, hey, you guys can have our seats. So we got up and gave them our seats. And it just shows you that it doesn't take any effort to be kind. You can little things like that. Just look for little things throughout your day. There's countless examples of where you can show kindness to somebody that doesn't take any effort at all. The last application is walking humbly with your God. We need to put ourselves under the Lord's authority. We need to walk in obedience to Him. We need to spend time in the Word and prayer. We need to be involved in the local church and be willing to submit to others and to serve them. We need to recognize that our walk with God will last a lifetime. Sanctification is a process, and the closer we get to God, the more we will be like Him. But we must remember that it is only by the power of the gospel that we can apply these truths. It is by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we as believers were justified and sanctified. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to walk in obedience to God. In conclusion, the same command in Micah 6:8 is given in a similar way by Jesus in Matthew's gospel. A lawyer asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus responded in Matthew 22:37-39, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So loving your God is similar to walking humbly with your God, and to love your neighbors as yourself is similar to do justice and to love kindness. So even in the New Testament, that is summed up. So let us close in a word of prayer. Dear God, I thank you for the time we had tonight. I thank you for giving us your word, which allows us to come to understand and obey your ways. Please give us the strength and wisdom to apply your truths and wisdom in our lives. Please help us to use this wisdom to share with others, especially to those who do not believe. Amen.